This Thursday and Friday nights, the KSO concludes its 80th season with a concert featuring music of Beethoven, Wagner, and the Tennessee premiere of a piece by Christopher Theophanidis. James Fellenbaum will conduct this epic program, and he is here today to talk with me about the music. Welcome back, Maestro. As always, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Melanie. It's great to be here.
You are starting off the program with Beethoven's Leonore Overture No. 3, and this, of course, was composed to begin his opera Fidelio. A total of 4 overtures exist for this opera. Why is that?
Beethoven was such a revisionist of his work. He was constantly adjusting, recomposing, not satisfied, just totally...
Perfectionist?
Yes, a perfectionist. He was always trying to find the highest ideals of his work. And this overture, these overtures to his opera are just a great example of that. He had 3 different versions of the Leonore, and then finally the overture called Fidelio was what finally became the official overture of the opera.
Mm-hmm. Which of the overtures is most popular, most frequently performed?
I think Leonore 3 is the most popularly performed, and so is Fidelio, probably just as much. Leonore 2, a little bit less frequently, and Leonore 1, not quite as much, at least from my perspective and from performances I've seen just throughout my lifetime. But Leonore 3 is the most developed. It's the most substantial overture. And Fidelio is being the actual namesake of the opera. That one is performed just about as much.
The second work on the program is Dreamtime Ancestors by American composer Christopher Theophanidis. I understand that this work was a commission?
That's right. This is an exciting project and going to be a wonderful piece to give the Tennessee... It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to give the Tennessee premiere of this piece. It was commissioned by the New Music for America Consortium. It had its first performance last fall in October by the Plymouth Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Stephen Kyriadonis. And it's a wonderful work that is dedicated to the late composer Stephen Paulus. And in that vein, because Paulus wrote many pieces, both instrumental and operatic, but his most famous work was an opera called The Village Singer. And so from that standpoint, the Beethoven, the Theophanidis, and then the Wagner on the second half, this kind of makes it a very operatically themed concert in a way. But this particular piece is an instrumental work that is based on the Australian Aboriginal tradition, and it's about what's called the dreaming. And what Paulus writes in his score is, if we close our eyes and leave our modern mind, if we remember our early childhood with no awareness of passing time, when each day was full, really full, the enormous and unquestioned sense of connection with our family, everything still untraumatized, then can we begin to enter the dreaming. So what he's talking about with the dreaming is this all-at-once state, like past, present, future kind of thing. And from that standpoint is where he begins his composition.
So it was actually a commission between 48 different states, or... 48 different symphonies?
There is at least one orchestra, maybe 2, in just about every state. I believe it's 48 states that entered into this commission together. So this work is being performed literally all across the country. Mm-hmm. And our orchestra, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra, was the one from Tennessee that was part of the commission.
Could you describe the music a little bit? What is Theophanidis' style?
Some of the aspects that I like about his composition is that a lot of his harmonic work is based on suspensions that leave one harmonic area and enter another, but they dovetail, they intertwine a lot. And all composers have done this throughout music history, but the way Theophanidis does it, it's his particular style, his particular harmonic language sets him apart from any other contemporary composers. It's just the manner in which he does it. It's very attractive. It's very tonal. And to me, when he composes in that way, he creates a sense of being, not necessarily this is one set of harmony, this is another set of harmony. It's a sense of being, and that is why I think this particular piece is so effective, because he's talking about a sense of being. He's talking about the dreaming, past, present, future, all at once. So his language really effectively portrays that kind of sense. I've always felt that with his music ever since I first heard one of his most popular works, Rainbow Body, and many other works that he's composed. And that's one of his hallmarks, at least I feel.
The final work on the concert is indeed an epic one. The Ring, an Orchestral Adventure, is a suite arranged in 1991 by Dutch composer Henk de Vlieger, featuring excerpts from Wagner's Ring Cycle. What struck me first about this work is the enormous orchestration. First of all, what is the orchestration for this work?
When you said before epic, this is going to be an epic ending. Yes, epic is the word of this concert. It's epic in scope, in terms of the size of the orchestra. The orchestra is enormous. There we have our usual string sections, which are full string sections. We have woodwinds that have auxiliary instruments like bass clarinet and English horn. And it's especially in the brass where we see the enormity of this orchestra. We have 8 horn players, and 4 of those horn players play Wagner tubas, which was an instrument created by Wagner for his compositions. We have 3 trumpets plus a bass trumpet, which is kind of in between a trumpet and trombone. We have 3 regular trombones. We have a contrabass trombone, and then we have a tuba. And in the percussion section, we have 2 timpani players. We have 3 percussionists, and those percussionists, in addition to playing cymbals and triangle and glockenspiel, all 3 of them play sets of anvils during the concert. So it's an enormous orchestra and an enormous orchestration.
Do you have 2 harps or 4?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the harps. We will have 2 harps.
Okay. There's an option for 4 harps.
There's an option for 4 harps, and as typical with Wagner, he could have used 6 harps. So, yeah, again, an enormous orchestra.
That's so exciting. So the size of this orchestra, was this typical of Wagner, and was this one way that he tried to change opera?
Yes, he had many ideas about how he wanted to make his imprint, he wanted to make his mark in music. Going back to Berlioz, when Berlioz wrote his Symphonie Fantastique and when he had ideas about composing, oftentimes he would write that he would want 20 horns and 30 trumpets and all that kind of stuff. And it's not necessarily that he was looking for the power that all of those instruments would create, but he was looking for the ambiance, the overall tonal sound of that many people playing those instruments. Like if you think of a couple people humming, and then if you think of 100 people humming at the same time, it's that resonance that you hear. So Wagner wanted to take the idea of a larger orchestration and to make it more integral in the storytelling of an opera. Oftentimes, operas in the past, the orchestration would be a little bit more of an accompanimental role to the singers on stage. But Wagner really wanted the orchestra to be part of the storytelling. And that's, of course, why you can extract a lot of orchestral music from the Ring Cycle, because it stands on its own. It tells a story, and it has just as much to do with the singers on stage. Wagner was really into the idea of Gesamtwerk music, which means total art, everything together. So he had something to say about the staging, the singers, the orchestra, the scenery. He wanted everything to be just so. Mm-hmm. And so starting with his large orchestration, so he would create the sound that he wanted, and then giving really demanding parts to the singers, making sure that the scenery looked just right, costumes, all that kind of stuff. He had this total idea of how the entire production should look, should sound, everything. And that's why Wagner has a very, very distinct sound and a very distinct place in history.
Maestro Fellenbaum, it's been wonderful talking with you today about this unique program. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you again for having me. It's a pleasure.
Once again, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra presents its final concert this season, Thursday and Friday nights at 7:30 p.m. And as always, it will be given in the magnificent Tennessee Theater. More information about the program is available online at knoxvillesymphony.com or by phone at 291-3310.